Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Kevin Freeman. He is the founder and CEO of Freeman Global Holdings, LLC. He is a certified financial analyst by training and practice. He is also the founder of an absolutely indispensable organization, the National Security Investment Consultants Institute, training financial managers to be national security-minded financial advisors. He is the author of two best-selling books, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attacks. Kevin, welcome back. It's good to have you as always.
Thank you, Frank.
I'd like to talk to you first about a piece that you wrote back in the beginning of this month. We have been for, well, a generation at least, persuading ourselves that we live in a, quote, globalized world, unquote. And yet it's long seemed to me that the rest of the world just never got the memo on that and doesn't seem to be approaching it in the same manner. First of all, tell us about the seeming disconnect there, Kevin Freeman, and what the implications of it are.
Well, most nations only view globalism when it's to their personal strategic advantage or benefit. The Russians will talk globalism when it's something that they need or the rest of the world to cooperate in. But it seems, as we study all the actions and purposes of Russia, China, and other nations, they are about their own national interests, and we just kind of assume that American national interest is global interest, and so everybody is along with us, and that's just simply not the case.
And to the extent that it's not the case, and we're watching other nations use our globalization as a kind of instrument for economic warfare against us. And this is, of course, an area of the war for the free world in which you are now truly expert. How's that working out? Are we finding ourselves seriously disadvantaged and at risk of even worse?
Well, there's no doubt that the domestic argument, for example, oil is a perfect example. We don't want to look at anything about protecting our domestic oil industry because it's a global free market. But the Saudis have upfront said, we're going to lower the price of oil. They have the ability to control the price through their production. And throughout modern history, every time oil prices got too low, they would cut back on production and they would stabilize the price. They've said they're doing the opposite. They've actually increased production to record levels in the past year in order to drive out our domestic energy industry and bankrupt our shale industry. Kind of like Obama wants to bankrupt the coal industry, the Saudis want to bankrupt the oil industry. And they've done that for their purposes with the idea that ultimately if they bankrupt our shale industry, they could drive prices higher and increase their market share and the pricing. That is not a free trade agenda by the Saudis.
You of course, live in the heart of America's energy security, namely Texas. How does it look in terms of our ability to assure ourselves of the capacity to meet our own energy needs, let alone perhaps be in a position to export energy to support friends and allies around the world?
Well, interestingly enough, and this may be why the Obama administration has not indicated a concern over the attack on our oil industry. Most energy is produced in red states, those that tend to favor Republican candidates, and most energy consumers tend to be in the blue states. And so it's hurting Texas. It's hurting North Dakota. We're seeing high-yield bonds are getting crushed in the market. We're seeing with oil prices under $30 a barrel, there was a potential for a wave or a series of bankruptcies that would set our shale industry back years, if not decades.
Mm. Does that mean that those capabilities are lost, Kevin, crushing the shale fracking industry, as you put it? Or is it really just a sort of hiatus that as prices come up, as inevitably they will, I think, and we'll talk about this more in a moment, perhaps as a result of a conflict in the Middle East, the spikes in future energy prices is almost inevitable. But will our industrial capabilities to get access to our reserves have been largely dissipated in this manner?
we don't lose the technology. We don't lose the know-how. What we lose is the capital that people will be unwilling to invest in energy projects going forward in the future if they fear that we could have this kind of collapse. In the 1970s, we actually shut down and cemented in wells. I don't see that happening at this point. The capital will get wiped out. And once you've drilled a well, you better produce as much from it as you possibly can, because much of the cost is in the upfront drilling, the exploration and drilling of it. But it nevertheless will hurt our ability to grow our energy industry as we have the past several years. That will be damaged potentially for years and maybe decades, because people will lose confidence that they can make an investment and get a decent return.
Plus, I'm told that, you know, if you're tapping these shale sources or using fracking, you typically have relatively small reservoirs of oil that you're getting, and they're fairly relatively rapidly depleted. So this isn't a long-term sustainable basis
unless
for our energy.
Unless you continue to move forward.
But that requires capital, as you know so well. Again, Kevin Freeman is our guest. You can find him at freemanglobal.com. That's the website of the Freeman Global Investment Council. Kevin, let me just ask you about China. Of course, the stock market has been very much rocked by the substantial decline in the value of Chinese shares. George Soros is reportedly warning that the People's Republic is headed for a hard landing. Is there evidence that the Chinese see it that way? Or are they behaving in a manner that suggests that they're rather more bullish than the rest of us are?
Well, the Chinese have an advantage in that they know that they've lied to us for decades on their growth rates. Their growth has never been as rapid as they have claimed, but they've used that positioning in order to develop a reputation and enhance their abilities around the world. They have built up $3.7 trillion at one point of foreign currency reserves, which is a substantial amount considering, you know, by contrast, we're $20 trillion almost in debt. They have $3.7 trillion, but they have massive internal debts. They have a slowing economy, and they have great difficulties at home, but that doesn't seem to bother them. They're signing trade deals every direction they can. They're protecting their domestic oil industry with a $40 minimum per barrel of oil, and they're working with the Saudis and signing a deal potentially on Aramco with providing oil. They're working with the Iranians. They're signing trade agreements in Africa and Europe and around the world, and they're building rapidly their navy and their other defense capabilities. So they're not acting as if their nation is imploding. They're acting quite the opposite.
And in terms of the strategic state of play that that puts them in, do you fear that these relationships that they're spawning, even in moments of adversity, are likely to give them, at the end of the day, a greater capacity for behaving aggressively, as our friend Gordon Chang, with whom we'll be speaking in a moment, has warned, may be the upshot of both the economic turmoil at home and the political difficulty the Communist Party finds itself in at the moment?
I believe the big lie from the past several years has been that they've sought to westernize and integrate themselves in the economic system that we developed. That's a lie. From 2013, they've publicly stated that they want to de-Americanize the world. So this is a part of a very long-term Chinese master plan. I believe that their intention was to give us the illusion that they were entering the West as a new economic partner. I believe that that illusion is collapsing because their economy has not grown. Free markets have not grown as expected. They've not liberalized. They are controlling information. And their nation is in trouble. And a wounded dragon is much more dangerous than one that's fat and happy.
Indeed. Fat and happy because it's eaten us, perhaps. Kevin Freeman, more on this in the days to come. Thank you very much for the great work you do at Freeman Global Investment Council and the National Security Investment Council as well. Keep it up and come back to us again very soon.